Hare Krishna, thank you so much, each one of you, for giving your association. And today we're very fortunate to have amongst us His Grace Harivarya Prabhu, and to enlighten us on Chaitanya Bhagavat. Mataji, you want me to read the verse or?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji.
I'll read the verse and then hand over the call to Prabhuji. Yeah. June 27th, when our eyes are anointed with love of God, we can see Him everywhere. We have to develop our seeing power by developing love of Godhead. When one is sufficiently developed in Krishna consciousness, he can see the Lord every moment within his heart and everywhere, wherever he goes. San Francisco, June 27, 1971. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We welcome you on Bhakti Sangha. On behalf of Bhakti Sangha, we are very, very grateful to you, Prabhuji. And please take over and start enlightening us, Prabhu. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Sure, I just want to check, am I audible? Am I audible?
Not very clearly.
Is this better, or should I switch my headphones? Is it clear? Can somebody tell me? Otherwise, I can switch my headphones.
I think you can switch, Prabhu, if possible.
Hare Krishna, is this better?
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Sometimes the most costliest headphones don't work. That's it. Okay. First and foremost, thank you very much for inviting me to this session. And this is about Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. In fact, last time around, I was told that the group of Bhakti Sangha Japa group is very enthusiastic to hear Valmiki's Ramayana. Of course, all Ramayans are beautiful. So today there's another opportunity to delve deep into this subject matter, a very beautiful topic of how Nityananda Prabhu very nicely exhibits these wonderful qualities of Lakshmana. So today the topic of the session is called as the irrepressible Lakshmana. Irrepressible means the uncontainable, the always angry. The angry young man, the real angry young man of Lakshmana, that's what we're going to speak about today. But before we speak, I would like to gather the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, the Gurujanas, our Acharyas, my spiritual master, and Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, and all the wonderful Acharyas who have commented on Valmiki and Ramcharitmanas, etc. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada and Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Shakham Vande Vande Malviki Kokilam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Pratam Hambande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Parabananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hari Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna, welcome one and all to this August assembly of devotees who are reading the beautiful literature written by Vrindavan Das Thakur called Chaitanya Bhagavat, where the most wonderful leelas or pastimes of the Lord are recorded, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recorded. But in this ninth chapter of the Adi Khanda, we have the esteem, fortune of reading about the childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes is recorded in the Adi Khanda. In that specifically, today we are going to see from text number 45 to 51. However, when we actually look at Ramayana, the sequence of the shlokas are from 51 to 45. So today what we will do is we will go reverse, because the sequence of the pastimes as per Ramayana is starting from behind. So we will go from text 51 and we are going reverse today. Text number 51.
Lakshmanera bhave prabhu hayasai rupa bhujita na pare shishu manaye kaukuta.
Translation: Lord Nityananda was absorbed in the mood of Lakshmana. The boys, however, could not understand this and thought it was just a game. Commentary by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In this verse, the word bhave means in the mood of or in the nature of. So this is the verse very beautifully mentioning text 51. And as we go through each text, we will try to analyze the different meaning. So in the mention of Lord Nityananda, we are seeing in this chapter that he is undertaking different pastimes. And in today's verse, he is in the mood of Lakshmana. Of course, we all know that Lakshmana is the incarnation of Anant Shesh or Adi Shesh. And Lord Nityananda, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the glories of Ananta, the chapter in the fifth canto, we do see that very clearly that Sankarsana or Adi Shesh is none other than Balaram. So Nityananda is none other than Adishesh, none other than Lakshmana. But where do we get this comparison? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has clearly mentioned 108 names of Lord Nityananda. In that, when we read the 104th name, the 105th name, the 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th, it comes into a four-line creation of this poetry which Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has written on Lord Nityananda. He says,
Manju Dasharathir Viro Lakshmana Sarva Vallabhaha Sadojvalo Rasanandi Vrindavana Rasaprada.
Manju Dasharathir Viro. Manju Dasharathi is the 104th name of Lord Nityananda. What is Manju Dasharathi means? Manju means son. And he is a charming son. So Nityananda is also called as the charming son of whom? Dasharathir Viro. He is the son of Dasharatha, Lakshmana. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is clearly mentioning Nityananda is non-different from Lakshmana of Ramayana. Lakshmana Sarvavallabhaha. So how is this Lakshmana? He is Veera Lakshmana. He is the greatest hero. He has Veera as a quality. And he is the avatara of Lakshmana. And how is he? Sarva Vallabaha. That means that one who gains Lakshmana or Nityananda Prabhu, he gains everything. And this is what our Vaishnava Acharya Thakur Singh, in the Dalelayer Gita, which is a very beautiful song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings this, that Nityananda Mahaprabhu is the middle person who is giving the pure love of Godhead, who is the person who is the merchant in between, he is the broker who is actually ready to give everything for that person who has love and who is shedding a tear from their eyes for Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The song goes, Ek bar deke chakshe jaal, ek bar deke chakshe jaal. Gaur bole nitai den sakala sambal. Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, nitai den sakala sambal. Koda nitai, koda nitai. He is such a nitai, so merciful, that by gaining him sakala sambal, whatever you desire for, you attain everything. And the same thing Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is saying, Lakshmana Sarva Vallabaha, by gaining everything. Sadojvalo Rasanandi, he is always effulgent. Sad Ujvalaha. Rasanandi, he is always engladdened by the transcendental relationships of Krishna consciousness. Vrindavana Rasaprada, and he bestows Vrindavan Rasa. Of course, as Lakshmana, he showcases the beautiful Rasa of Ram Bhakti. Anyway, so today's topic, we see very clearly Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is striking a parallel between this beautiful connection of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lakshmana. And in this verse, we see that beautiful connection. Going behind, translation of text number 50, we enter into the pastimes of Lakshmana, which is enacted by none other than Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So let's read the text, text number 15. Kona dine kruddha haya Parashurama ere mora dosha nahi vipra palaha satvare. Another day, Lord Nityananda spoke in anger to Parashurama. O Brahmana, I am not at fault. Leave here at once. Commentary. This incident concerning Sri Ramchandra's angry statements to Parashurama is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, verse number 7 as follows. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors by breaking Shiva's bow, Lord Ramchandra met Parashurama, who was agitated from hearing the tumultuous sound of breaking of the bow. Although Parashurama was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, his pride was vanquished by the Lord, who appeared to be Kshatriya of the royal order. One should also refer to Ramayana Adikanda chapter 76 and Mahabharata Vanaparva chapter 99 verse 42 to 55 and 61 to 64. The phrase Mora Dosha Nahi, I am not at fault, is explained as follows. Being angered by the heroic words of Parashuram, Lord Ramchandra took the Vaishnava bow and arrows from his hands and spoke to him as follows. I wish to vanquish your free movement earned on the strength of austerities and your unrivaled dominion over the earth. You cannot blame me for this. So this is a very beautiful pastime, which is showcased by Parashuram, Lord Ramchandra, and many others. So what happens here is, I would like to narrate this pastime. But before I narrate this pastime, I would like to say, many devotees in the ISKCON community, of course, Srila Prabhupada has written about the authenticity of Ramcharitmanas and said that many parts of it and many translations of the Gorakhpur Ramcharitmanas has some Mayavadi philosophy. However, there are instances where such topics of Lakshmana meeting Parashuram is never mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana. In the commentary, we see that in the Adik, that we are mentioned about the section of Valmiki Ramayana. But in the Valmiki Ramayana, there is no conversation between Lakshmana and Parashuram. There is only a conversation between Parashuram and Lord Ramchandra. But Ramcharitmanas, written by Tulsidas, gives a very, very beautiful rendition of this particular aspect of how Parashuram came into the arena. So let us look at both the versions, one from Valmiki Ramayana and also from Ramcharitmanas. His Holiness Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj often mentions, it is not the job of a devotee to go with a scale and always measure what is correct, what is not. Yena kena prakarena. If it actually, by reading the Sanskrit shlokas or the chaupais of Tulsidas, if we are getting attracted towards Krishna or Lord Ramchandra, we can consider it as genuine. Of course, we need to be careful. But here, this particular verse where Lakshmana is speaking to Parashuram is not available in Valmiki Ramayana. And it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And in other Ramayana, if we see, the only place that it is mentioned is Tulsidas. So going by these three Shastras, we shall take up Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas. So in that, it is very clearly mentioned that the Swayamvar was completed. In the Valmiki Ramayana, you see that they all go in a procession. And while the procession is going on, Parashuram enters the arena. In the Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas, it is a little different. As soon as the bow is broken, Parashuram arrives. Now one may ask, why is this difference in pastime? Sometimes when the procession is going on, Parashuram arrives. Sometimes when the bow is broken, Parashuram arrives. A standard answer in ISKCON is different yugas, different pastimes. But actually, the answer is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his book called Krishna Samhita, in chapter number 7, he mentions that these pastimes happen in the hearts of the devotees. And the Lord gives many, many realizations in the heart of the devotees. And hence his pastimes are always continuing. Just like the moon rises from the eastern horizon, and it seems to us that it has disappeared, but somewhere else on the planet, it is still existing. So just like the moon is always existing in one part of the planet or the other, similarly, the Lord's pastime is constantly going on in one heart of the devotee or the other. And hence these pastimes may differ. So it is very much correct that we see that between two Shastras, a little bit of pastime changing here and there. So because we are looking at Ramcharitmanas, so let us look at this particular section of the Parashurama's pastime. It so happens that the bow is broken and Sita is coming with a garland and she garlands Lord Ramchandra. At that time, Janaka says, Iyam Sita Mamasuta Sahadharmacharini Iva, the famous shloka, that please accept her as your wife. Rama says, look, the contract was only to break a bow. My Gurudev has not given the order to go ahead and get married. Unless my Gurudev accepts and tells me to get married, I am not going to marry. He just told me, please go and lift the bow and see. I went, I lifted, it broke. This is all the contract that I know. There is no point of a girl garlanding me. I am getting married. These things are not told by my Gurudev, Vishwamitra. So hence I am not going to accept. Vishwamitra came running and said, Rama, the whole thing I wanted you to break the bow was only for this purpose. Please go ahead and accept the garland. So when the spiritual master mentioned, he accepted the garland. But at that very time, what happened was, there was a great nimitta. Nimitta means sign. In the early ages, people could see the movement of birds and they could get to know the oncoming event which is going to happen. These are indications by Mother Nature about the activities that are supposed to happen. All the birds started screeching and started fluttering away. This is a great science. Not many people know about it. But Srila Prabhupada writes one or two books which we can refer where such sciences are being mentioned. Anyway, when all the birds started screeching, at the same point of time, Valmiki Ramayan mentions that there are a lot of animals which started moving towards the left-hand side of the body. Then Dasharatha asks Vasishtha, I see a great impending danger coming. Do you see the same signs? Vasishtha mentions that I also see it by the nimitta, by the indications that I see, but it seems like it will come in a swift way and it will go away in a similar fashion. So you don't need to worry, Dasharatha, says Vasishtha. But in the Valmiki Ramayan, Dasharatha and Vasishtha are not there. As soon as the bow is broken before Vishwamitra, a great dust rises from the eastern side, and then walks a great Brahmana who is having a Upanayana, who is none other than Parashuram, who is having a sacred thread. He has matted hairs. He has Vaishnava Tilak. At the same time, he has ashes on his body to commemorate his spiritual master's identity, who is Lord Shiva himself. He carries with him a bow, arrows, a quiver, and he has an axe in his hand. Everybody shivers and trembles at his step that he takes towards the royal courtyard where the bow was broken. Many kings who were wicked were thinking that this is their final day. They thought that they will come, break the bow, and win the girl. But they never knew that today they will meet death themselves, because it was none other than Parashuram who had killed 21 times the Kshatriya and who had gifted the Mother Earth to none other than the Brahmanas. He was the son of Jamadagni, walking with bloodshot eyes, red eyes. He walked straight into the arena. Nobody could look at him eye to eye. Many of the kings started fainting at the very look of Parashuram. And they were afraid that if he looks at him, at them, straight eye to eye, their heads won't be found on top of their body. Having such tremendous amount of fear, everybody put their head down. At the same point of time, some of the Kshatriyas, it is mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayan and the Ramcharitmanas, started calling out their ancestors' name as if to give an Aadhaar card or a social security number. In the earlier ages, there was a system, and even today it is practiced in many Vaishnava custom or Vaishnava rituals, that whenever an elderly person comes to the assembly or to our house, The practitioner of the Vedas, he should offer something called as Abhivadaye. Abhivadaye means salutations. Generally in my young age, my father used to teach me this particular Abhivadaye. Whenever elder persons visit the place, they don't ask what is your name. In fact, you give the entire lineage. You keep both your hands to your ears, and you tell what is that you are doing, what is your Shastric study. So you say, Abhivadeye, Angi, Rasa, Bahar, Spritya, Bharatvaja, Trayo, Risheha, Pravara, Nite, Bharatvaja, Gotraha, Apastamba, Sutraha, Yajur, Shakhadhyayi, Sri Haridasa, Varyanamaha, Aham, Asminbo. This is the introduction that the lineage would give. It would say, you are coming from which Rishi's Gotra, which Veda you are studying, what is your gotra? What is your name? What is your spiritual name? Who is your spiritual master? This personality in this body, in this lifetime, I pay my respectful obeisances unto you. This was a very beautiful culture. And the Kshatriya kings were offering their Abhivadaye, the salutations, to none other than Parashuram. Parashuram sometimes used to casually look at them. that who is offering me salutations, and also checking if their mantras pronunciations are correct, because he is a Brahmana also. He's a Brahmana who turned into a Kshatriya. So he checks, and when he looks at them casually through his left eye, people start to tremble as if their heads are going to be chopped off. So such was the fear, and he walked straight into the arena and immediately saw a big crowd of assembly of people surrounding Lord Ramchandra, because they are trying to congratulate him for breaking the bow. And immediately he asks this question. He puts forward this question that, please tell me, can somebody actually tell me what is this commotion about? What is the giant sound that I heard? Who is this personality who is standing in the middle? And why is that there are so many people crowding this particular place? And at that time, Janak Maharaj came forward, told Parashuram the entire narration of the Shiva's bow and how it was broken, and how this bow of Lord Shiva was broken by Lord Ramchandra. And when he actually heard that the bow of Lord Shiva was broken and he looked down, the bow was in 2 to 3 pieces, he immediately started angrily saying loudly to the entire assembly, Nata samdu dhanu bhajani ra hoi ke hue kadas tumara. He asked this question, who is this person? Who is this servant who he claims to be, who broke the master's bow? This is the question asked by Parashuram. And when this question is asked by Parashuram, Janak Maharaj came forward and said, it is none other than this small young lad known as Lord Ramchandra. And when he looked at Ramchandra, he was feeling so much of love in his heart of hearts, but he couldn't show it because he was feeling angry at the top of his mind. He was feeling that he is the person who has actually broken the bow, but why am I feeling as if there is 100 cupids who are shooting an arrow into my heart, and I am a celibate Brahmana, and why am I feeling this intimate loving affection towards this little lad who is looking as good as a blooming lotus? But nevertheless, he asked this question, who is this servant who does such a service? Sevaka sojau karau sevakai. Who is such a servant who such a service? Arikarani kari karalai galarai. He says, who is such a person who says he is a servant, but he is actually an enemy of my spiritual master, of my Lord Shiva? He says, listen, O Rama, whoever has broken this Shiva's bow, let me tell you, he is my enemy. And he is no less than the enemy of the 1,000 armed Kartavirya Arjuna whom I have killed. So Parashuram was very well known to be the killer of Kartavirya Arjuna. And he says, Rama, so please tell me who has broken the bow, and tell him to stand apart from this assembly. You all are standing together. The person who broke the bow should stand apart, and I am going to kill that person, and I am going to pick up a fight against that person. And it is at this time that Lakshmana smiles. Because Lakshmana is an angry young man, and the minute he meets another angry young man, he is supremely happy. He feels that this is the time that I have to show my valor. So Lakshmana immediately, he smiles and starts to mention and speak these words. He says, Suni muni bachana lakana musukane bole parashu darahi apamane. Suni muni bachana lakana muskane. Lakana is Lakshmana is smiling, hearing the words of Parashurama. And he spoke. And what did he speak? He spoke with entire amount of sarcasm in his words. And just for parashu darahi apamane, just to make him feel insulted, Lakshmana started speaking. Look at that. Everybody is afraid of looking at Parashuram, and Lakshman starts speaking to Parashuram. And he says, Bahudanim tori lari ke ma kabahunahi ashirishi kinigo sama. He says, many times in my childhood, I have broken many bows, many sticks, many times. Not one, not two, 100 times I have taken a twig and broken into two. But let me tell you, never such a person has come angrily the minute I broke a bow. It is very strange that when I broke another such bow, and that also I did not break, my brother broke, and he just broke it. He just took it up and touched it, it broke. And you are coming, you are the first time we are seeing, we have broken many hundreds of such bows. But why are you coming so angrily? I don't understand. And who is that? Who are you? Hearing this, Parashuram became so angry. So angry. He said that, who are you? And whoever you are, Janak, please take care of this young lad. He has no idea whom he is speaking to. He is almost at the grip of the death. And he has no idea whom he is speaking to. And what are you speaking about? Small bows that you have broken. The bow that you have broken is the mighty bow of Lord Shiva. And it is known as the Tripurari's bow. The bow that shot an arrow and killed the three cities and the Tripura demon. And you are calling this bow a small bow? You are insulting my spiritual master? Mind your words. Otherwise, you will be brought to death, Parashuram said to Lakshmana. At that time, Lakshmana, if anybody else was there, they would have kept quiet, but Lakshman kept on going. Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu is playing all this part. This conversation is being played out as his childhood pastime. And Lakshmana said with a smile, listen. You know, for me, all bows are alike. Whether you call a small bow or a big bow, what gain or loss can be there? And moreover, you ask Janak Maharaj, this was already a broken bow. A broken bow which has been again broken because my elder brother, he just mistook it that it is a new one. He didn't even think that this is an old bow. He thought it is a new one. Let me see to string it. And he picked it up, he touched it, it broke. So for this small trifle of a mistake, of a trivial mistake, why are you being so angry? I don't understand. Listening to this, Parashurama started taking his axe, started touching his axe. And he started casting on his axe and he started gripping his axe. And he said, you are a dull person, the person who is speaking to me. Janak, tell this boy that he will be the single cause of elimination of the entire Kshatriyas available at this place. And I have offered this earth to the Brahmanas again and again, killing such Kshatriyas who are arrogant in nature. And I have always given it to the Brahmanas. And I have chopped off the arms of Sahasrabahu. So tell him, do not bring woe to his parents. Tell this princely lad called as Lakshmana, the most cruel axe will fall on him. And in fact, when I pick up the axe, even those mothers who are carrying children in their wombs, they get aborted. So what to speak of this unruly lad who is trying to speak in front of me? At least at this time, Lakshmana should keep quiet. But Lakshmana is Nityananda Mahaprabhu. He continues to speak. He says, very exquisitely, I can't understand you. You say you are a Kshatriya, but you look like a Brahmana. You again and again say that you have killed so-and-so, so-and-so. If you are a Brahmana is supposed to be humble. And you think, puni puni mohi dekhava kutaru chahat udhavana funki paharu. You feel that you again and again touch your axe. And you feel that at your every breath, you can even blow away the mountains. But let me tell you something, the real Kshatriyas don't even speak greatly about themselves. They just show themselves in the battle. So why are you, who are you a Brahmana? Are you a Kshatriya?
And you seem to say that you will blow away us and you will kill us and you will eliminate the entire Kshatriya rage. Let me tell you, we are not small pumpkin seeds that you can just blow it away from your palm. This is the height of sarcasm. And this is, he's telling not to Durvasa, he's telling to Parashuram, who is angry that his spiritual master's bow is broken. And while all this is going on, Parashuram turns to Rama and says, look, tell your younger brother to just shut up. If he doesn't shut up, then I believe that you are the one who is actually giving him this fuel to speak. And if he doesn't keep quiet, let me tell you, I am going to bring the greatest of harm to both of you. At that time, Lord Ramchandra smiles and he says, why are you taking offense of people who are younger to me? He's just a child. He's just a child. And Lord Ramchandra mentions this beautiful way. He says, he's just like a small child who is not knowing that the greatness that you possess, Parashuram. And he's, his milk in his lips from his mother's breast have not even dried up as of now. So Rama is offering pacifying words and Lakshmana is not happy that he's being contained. He is irrepressible Lakshmana, uncontainable Lakshmana. He's very angry. But he's saying that his milk has not even dried up, you know. So please excuse him. Excuse him that he is a small boy. And small boys, sometimes they say so many things. So why are you even worrying about this? So don't take offense over this. And you just leave. I know you are a great personality. At that time, Vishwamitra also speaks. Because he's a spiritual master. And he says, look, just because Vishwamitra, he's your disciple, I'm not doing anything to him. Otherwise, I would have chopped off his head right now. But at that time, Lakshmana doesn't keep quiet. Lakshmana says, he starts to mumble amongst himself and he says, so what? So what if I am a little child? You are the one who is telling that you will show your prowess. I am ready to fight. And when Parashuram hears that, he gets more angry. He gets more angry. And he says, take away this child out of my sight. Take away this young prince out of my sight. He's going to lose his life right now. And I'm holding my axe and I'm going to lift my axe. At that time, Lakshmana again puts a sarcasm and says, if I want to go away from your sight, you just close your eyes. If you close your eyes, I will be gone. Why do you want me to move? Nobody can move me. And this is true. Who can move Adishesh? Adishesh cannot be moved unless he feels that he can be moved. At that time, Gosai Tulsidas gives a very beautiful chopai. He says, Gaura Sharira Shama Mana Mahim Kalakuta Mukha Payamukha Nahim. Parashuram says, Gaura Sharira. He says, Gaura Sharira. Maybe, I do not know, it's my speculation, that Tulsidas in the 16th century, he knows Gauranga Mahaprabhu had appeared in the 15th century. So maybe he's writing it, this Gaura Sharira, this boy, Parashuram is saying, seems like he has a whitish hue, but let me tell you, Shama Manamahim, he's completely black. He's having a whitish hue, but he's completely black. And what did you say, Rama? He has milk in his lips. No, Kala Kuta Mukha Paya Mukha Nahim. He has fully poison on his lips. Indirectly, Parashuram is saying he is Adishesh. He is not white, he is black. And what does he have? Poison in his lips. So Adishesh, the greatest of the serpents, Parashuram understands he is none other than Adishesh. And he says, Rama, I don't want to talk to this boy anymore. And Ram says, don't worry, you are a Brahmana. But actually you came with axe and bow and arrows and that is the reason why he thought that there is a fight to be fought with you. So if he had not seen you with bows and arrows, he would have never fought with you. So please excuse him. And Parashuram gets even more angry at Ramchandra. He says, again and again, you are just nullifying my Brahmanical prowess. If you think you are a great personality, why don't you take this bow of mine, which is known as the Vishnu's bow, and take an arrow and pull it right behind your ear. And Rama effortlessly picks up the bow. And this transfer of the bow, the Acharya's comment, marks the end of Parashuram's Leela. And this entire Satyavish avatar of Vishnu, who is Parashuram, transfers his entire responsibilities to the current avatar, who is Lord Ramchandra. So when the Lord Ramchandra picks up the Vishnu bow from Parashuram, the same bow and the same axe holding Parashuram, the transfer of power also happens, the transfer of responsibility happens. And the Acharyas say this is because in one sheath, you cannot hold two swords. There has to be one sword in one sheath. So this is what happens when Parashuram hands over the bow and Lord Ramchandra picks it up. And Lakshmana says, let me do it. He says, no, wait, Lakshmana, wait. This is my responsibility. He picks up the bow and strings back the arrow and asks, now where should I shoot? And Parashuram says, because I had given the entire world back to Kashyapa, I should have not got angry and come here. But because the bow of my spiritual master was broken, this is the reason why I reached here. So why don't you shoot this arrow towards my asceticism and I will retire back to Mahendragiri, where I will sit and do my penance. So just like the swift of wind which it came, Parashuram and this beautiful, irrepressible Lakshmana, who is always eager to fight, picked up this war of words with Parashuram. And this is a great scene in Ramayana, where Parashuram, who is known, who is feared by, was vanquished over by none other than Lord Ramchandra. And this whole pastime was played by Nityananda Mahaprabhu. And this is what is mentioned in text number 50. Going further behind, there is one more pastime which is being mentioned. And what is that pastime? The pastime is about Lord Lakshmana meeting Sugriva. So this is mentioned in text 47. Shri Lakshmana Rupa Prabhu Dariya Apane Dhanudari Kope Chale Sugriva Sthane. Nityananda accepted the role of Lakshmana, who angrily went with a bow in his hand to chastise Sugriva. Commentary: for the meaning of the second line of this verse, one should see Ramayana Kishkinda 31:10-30. Text 48 and 49. Are Ravana Ramora Prabhu Dukha Paya Pranala Imo Yadi Tabejata Aya Malyavan Parvate Mora Prabhu Paya Dukha Narigana Laya Beta Tumikara Sukha. Translation: O King of the Monkeys, my Lord is in distress. Come quickly, I will kill you. How can you sit here enjoying with women while he's lamenting on the Malyavan mountain? Commentary: for an elaboration on these two verses, see the Ramayana Kishkinda Kanda 34:7-19. Although the Ramayana Kishkinda Kanda chapter 28 verse I mentions Malyavan mountain, in chapter verse 27 verses 1 and 29, the mountain is referred to as Prasravana mountain. In the Mahabharata Vanaparva chapter 1279 verses 26 and 40 and chapter 281 verse 1, this mountain is also referred to as Malyavan. So this is another wonderful pastime where Lakshmana is getting ready to go and chastise Sugriva. So this was the pastime when the 4 months of rainy season was over. Vali was killed and Sugriva was made the king. And Rama was waiting for 4 months. And this is what happens when complacency seeps into devotional life. When we are complacent, we get attracted by sense and sense pleasures. And this is what happened to Sugriva. Though in the initial start of the month, he sent his word to various different vanaras. After that, he started enjoying completely in the sense objects of his kingdom. Because he was banished from the kingdom by Vali for such a long time, when he got sense objects, he started enjoying with his wives. like Ruma, and also enjoying with Tara, who is the wife of Vali. So much so that Lakshmana said, I will go immediately right now and kill Sugriva. Rama said, no. Why are you getting angry, Lakshmana? We have signed a pact with him. And there is no point in killing. And killing should not be the first method. First talk to him. First tell him. First remind him that he should obey and he should not forget his pact. The pact of friendship. The pact of acceptance of helping me to search out Mother Sita. So this is what the Lord does. He sends Adi Guru Lakshmana to remind us of our spiritual duty. This is why spiritual masters are there. When we are deeply enjoying like Sugriva in the material world, completely enjoying the senses, the spiritual master arrives at our door. Sometimes he is angry at the disciple not following the four regulative principles, not following the 16 rounds of chanting. And he is completely angry arriving at our doorstep and reminding us that you should go back home, back to Godhead. You should go back to your principles. So Lakshmana said to Rama, why don't you also come? We both will chastise him completely. Rama said, I have taken a vow that I will not enter any city in this 14 years. Because I gave that pledge to Kaikeyi, so I cannot enter into any kingdom. So Lakshmana, you go. At that time, Lakshmana keeps walking. He keeps every step. And his arrows make marks on the mountains. He sends arrows ahead to clear the path. And he keeps walking. And he reaches the outskirts of the Kishkindha's kingdom. He sees the beautiful ramparts. He sees the great monkey warriors who are patrolling the ramparts of the fort of Kishkindha. And he's so astonished to see all these people are engaged in their own activities. And then he enters into the precincts of the fort and he stands outside with the eyes which are bloodshot with anger, rage, extremely angry that Sugriva has forgotten his promise. And while thinking it in this particular way, he is sending a message to the messenger who is standing outside the gates of Kishkindha that you please go and tell the brother of Lord Ramchandra, the greatest warrior on planet Earth, the king of the Raghu dynasty, Raghunatha, his younger brother, his younger Anuja, Lakshmana has arrived. And when the messengers saw the bloodshot eyes, the Kshatriya valor of Lakshmana, the bow is tingling, the quivers are tingling with pinpointed arrows, and he's breathing heavily like a five-headed serpent, they felt very fearful and they ran inside the palace of Kishkindha. They ran inside, and at that time Sugriva was completely intoxicated. They told Angada of this news. Angada and Hanuman went and started slapping on the cheeks of Sugriva that, wake up, you are intoxicated. Wake up, Lakshmana has come. Now you have forgotten your promise. This is not the way to act. But this person was totally drunk. And along with him, the other two ladies, Ruma and Tara, both were drunk. They were so drunk that they could not even walk. They were intoxicated. Now many people ask, why are these people who are devotees, they are drinking? But please understand, Brahma had told all the devas to assemble. And it is a common practice that the devas and the demigods, they engage in such pleasures. So many of Valmiki Ramayana's quotes say Sugriva was entirely doing lusty activities and Tara was also involved in it, who was Vali's wife. So much so that Sugriva, when he came to his little bit of senses in his intoxicated, inebriated sense, he told Tara, why don't you go and manage the situation? So at that time, Valmiki shares this beautiful shloka in the Valmiki Ramayana. Now we shift gears and we go into Valmiki Ramayana, where Valmiki is so expert as a kavi, as a poet, that you should actually read this verse. And when you read this verse, you will get to know how great is Valmiki. So let me share my screen. I hope you can see my screen. This is in the Kishkinda Kanda. And this is when Tara is coming. And when you read this verse, if I read it normally, I would read it as Sapraskhalanti Madavikshalakshi Pralambakanchi Gunahema Sutra Salakshmana Lakshmana Sannidhanam Jagam Tara Namitanga Yashtihi. This is how in Sanskrit it is read. But Valmiki did not write and tell his Lava and Kusha to narrate like this. This one shloka in Ramayana is given a different meter altogether. And the meter is of a drunkard. Because Tara is fully drunk. She is intoxicated. So this verse is sung in this particular manner. Sapraskalanti Madhavishwalakshi Pralambakanchi Gunahema Sutra Salakshana Lakshmana Sannidhanam Jagam Tara Namitanga Yashtihi. So just like how a drunkard person, he cannot read the words together, this is the meter of this particular song. Look at the greatness of Valmiki. This is how he enjoys his narrations. Sapraskhalanti Madhavishwalakshi. The exquisitely featured Tara, she has exquisite features. She is a great model of her times. Mother Vishwalakshi and her waddling gait had very flustering eyes and it was fully intoxicated. But what happened? She came before whom? Lakshmana Sannidhanam, the great temple-like personality who is none other than Lakshmana. And what did Lakshmana do? Jagam Tara Namita Angayashtihi. She bent herself, exposing herself, and she bent before Lakshmana in a very inappropriate way that Lakshmana could not even see her, meet eye to eye. He felt so much of shyness that he immediately put his head down. And this is the signs, this is the scene. Or this is the signs of how we should control our eyes. We should learn from Lakshmana. When he sees an inappropriate scene, he puts his head down. He bends his head down. And the acharyas say, how did he exhibit this shyness? The shyness was very beautifully exhibited by Lakshmana. The shyness of Lakshmana is compared, he became so shy, as if a son-in-law will come in front of 100 mother-in-laws. It's not the other way. We are not talking about the bride. We are talking about the son-in-law. When a son-in-law comes in front of one mother-in-law, he's okay, he's happy. But when he comes suddenly in front of 100 mother-in-laws, and immediately they are all seeing him, he becomes shy. So Lakshmana became shy. In other words, he's saying he saw Tara as a mother. And Tara also saw Lakshmana as his her own son. So she didn't have that lusty component of seeing Lakshmana. But that irrepressible Lakshmana now started looking downwards. And Tara mentioned, very sweetly she started speaking, how come you have come here? And why are you carrying so much of anger? Sometimes people make mistakes. And when sometimes people make mistakes, you should not feel bad about it. And by the way, we have not forgotten our promise. We have done all our SWOT analysis. In fact, 52 crore Vanaras have been summoned. They are coming on their way. And how come you have spent so much time away from your elder brother? Look at the way Tara speaks. She says, you are always next to your elder brother. Now it's so much time you have spent in this city. Your brother might be feeling alone. Tell him that everything is arranged. You don't need to worry. So in this scene behind, you see that Lakshmana is saying that I will be chastising Sugriva, but Tara is very nicely giving her reassurances that Sugriva is doing his job. And in the meantime, Hanuman splashes water on his eyes, beats his cheeks, get him in a proper manner, tells him to come before Lakshmana. Lakshmana mildly admonishes Sugriva. Sugriva says, yes, yes, we are monkeys. We sometimes forget our duties, but now I have remembered my duty, and don't worry, I have already told the Vanar Sena to assemble. Now this is the time to assembly. And he shows his entire SWAT action plan, and Lakshmana is happy, and they both go back to Lord Ramchandra. So this beautiful narration of Tara, she is known as one of the five ladies who is known as very chaste. She is one of the chaste ladies. Ahalya, Draupadi, Tara, Mandodari, and Mother Sita. These are the Pancha Mahasatis. They are the greatest chaste ladies. And just by remembering their names, one gets rid of all the sins. So this is how expertly Lakshmana was irrepressible. And we see that how his anger is coming down in front of a lady. And the final pastime that we see for today, very quickly, we have just 5 minutes before we end. But nevertheless, we can go back and see the last pastime for today, which is also what Nityananda Mahaprabhu exhibits. And that is text number 45, 46 and 47. It says, Kona dine Nityananda setu bandhakare vanerera rupa sabha shishugana dhare. One day Nityananda enacted the pastime of building a bridge across the ocean with the boys playing the role of monkeys.
Berendera gachakati felayana jale shishugana meli jaya ragunata bole.
They cut castor oil plants and made a bridge across the water. All the boys exclaimed, Jai Raghunath. So the boys and Nityananda Mahaprabhu is playing the pastime of the Setu Bandhana. And this comes in the Yuddha Kanda. In the Yuddha Kanda, we see that Vibhishana's Sharanagati is being accepted. And Vibhishana has been given a Pattabhishek, that is the coronation. And afterwards, Lord Ramchandra tells Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan, you please go and ask Vibhishana how to cross this ocean. Now Sugriva, Jambavan feel, why is Lord Ramchandra favoring this new person who has entered our community? We are the ones, he used to always ask us this questions, but now he's telling Vibhishana, nevertheless, let's go and ask Vibhishana how to cross over the ocean. And Vibhishana, at that time, gives a solution. What is the solution he gives? He says, tell Ramchandra to seek surrender unto the ocean lord. And Hanuman thinks, this is a very unique case of Vibhishana. I know, what does he think? He thinks he is like a doctor. You know, sometimes doctors, what they do, they get up one patient. And the patient says, I have a headache. So they give a paracetamol or a panadol to them and says, okay, take this. Let me tell you after 2 days, how do you feel? After 2 days, the patient comes and says, I became all right. So this doctor notes down in his notebook that any person who says headache, we should give paracetamol or panadol. This is the medicine that we have to give. Next time another person comes and says, I have splitting migraine. He says, take paracetamol and panadol. Third day, another person comes and says, my head has been broken into two pieces. I'm getting headache. I'm having an ache in my head. He says, take paracetamol and panadol. This is called as a doctor who knows only one medicine for all the diseases. Because one has worked, he thinks this medicine will work for all diseases. So Vibhishana has just now undergone Sharanagati and he had taken surrender unto Lord Ramchandra. And when Lord Ramchandra is asking how to build the bridge, he's saying the same medicine, like a doctor giving the same medicine. He tells the same medicine to Lord Ramchandra. The you also surrender unto the ocean god of the Lord. You also surrender unto the Samudra Raja, the king of the oceans. Lord Ramchandra smiles and he says, my devotee, when he says something, I will not say no. So he accepts the surrender and starts to lie down for 3 days. Lies a kusha grass at Tirupallani, a beautiful temple, which is even today, if you go to this particular place called Setukarai in Tamil Nadu, you will see this beautiful lord in the Darpa Shayana. In the kusha grass, he is lying down. And it is the same place where Dasharatha came and begged for a son. And then later he did the Putra Kameshti and he got Lord Ramchandra. So even today, if somebody is not having a son or a daughter, when they go and do the Tilaka Homa in that place, it is considered that they will get a son or a daughter. So in this 3 days, Lord Ramchandra was sleeping, but still the sun god did not arrive. Sorry, the ocean lord did not arrive. And Lord Ramchandra became extremely angry. And he told Lakshmana, who is always ready to fight. We saw in the Parashurama episode, before even Parashurama spoke, he was ready to fight. We saw in the Sugriva's episode, he was ready to fight. The irrepressible, the uncontainable Lakshmana, who is ready to fight. And Rama thought, now is the time to fight. He says, Chapamane Saumitre, please bring my bow and arrow. This is the time to shoot the Ram Ban on this ocean and dry it up, and everything will dry, and my monkeys will just walk across the ocean. I don't need to build any bridge. I don't need to build any solution. I don't need to do anything. I will just shoot this arrow. Chapamane Saumitre, bring my chapa, bring my bow. At that time, Lakshmana went and brought the smallest of the bows that you can imagine. Rama said, what has happened to you? You are the angry young man. Without even saying a word, you will start fighting. But now you are bringing me the smallest of the bow. Bring my bow, Kodanda. I am going to shoot the arrow. He brings a little larger bow, but still not his Kodanda. He says, Lakshmana, what has happened to you? I am angry. I am going to shoot an arrow. Bring me the arrows. Lakshmana brings the smallest of the arrows, which are blunt in nature and has no feather tips, no blazing tips, nothing. And it is not even inscribed with the name Ram. He gives twigs from the ocean floor. Whichever has just come from the waves of the ocean, he just picks up that and gives. The Acharyas comment, why is Lakshmana doing this? The irrepressible Lakshmana, one who is always intending to fight, why is he not ready to fight? Why is he making this? The Acharyas give 2 explanations. But before that explanations, I would like to ask this question to the audience. Why is Lakshmana not giving the arrow and the bow to Lord Ramchandra? Why? The one who always wants Lord Ramchandra to shoot and ready for a combat and a battle is not ready, is not giving the right weapons to Lord Ramchandra to shoot an arrow. Anybody would like to try to answer, try to guess our Acharyas? Anybody? I know we are almost on time, but still, it's good to guess some answers. Why did Lakshmana not offer the arrows and the bows to Lord Ramchandra? No answer. Nobody from the chat? Okay. In the interest of time, we will go ahead. Our Acharyas mention that the first reason is, who is Lakshmana? Adishesha. And where does he lie? On the ocean. So both are engaged in satsanga, constantly talking about the Lord. So how can one devotee allow a bow and arrow to be used against another devotee? So this ocean is also serving the Lord in terms of conch shell, panchajanya, etc. And Adishesha is lying on the ocean. So because both are so close to each other, he doesn't want Lord Ramchandra to punish the other devotee who is in satsanga. So this is the glory of 2 devotees meeting to speak about the Lord. The other answer the Acharyas, the great Vedanta Deshika gives, is because he feels that Lord Ramchandra, he will fail in the battle. If he gives this arrow, Lord Ramchandra will fail. How come Lord Ramchandra will fail? Because Bharata is doing the abhishek of the padukas near the Sarayu river. And these padukas, the lotus feet of the Lord had adorned these padukas. And these waters from these padukas has mixed into the Sarayu river. And that Sarayu has mixed into this ocean. So now the ocean is Charnamrit. How can the Lord's Charnamrit be won over? The Lord's Charnamrit is the most munificent and the most Abhaya Pradana. It is the most merciful and gives protection to all. So one that gives most protection to all, how can it be punished? Not possible. And the third reason that the Acharyas give is he is actually shooting an arrow against his ancestor. His ancestor was Sagara, who was searching for the Ashwamedha horse, and his 60,000 sons started digging up earth, which later filled up with water and became Sagara. So it is his ancestor's property that Sagara was made, and now he's shooting against his ancestors. And Lord Ramchandra is known for respecting his ancestor. He is known as Kakustha. He is known as Raghunatha. And in this verse also they say, Jaya Raghunatha. So the ocean lord doesn't appear. And that is the reason why Lakshmana doesn't give. Finally, when he gives the arrow, and he knows that the ocean lord is going to appear, he gives the arrow, the ocean lord appears in front of him. And he brings a lot of gifts. He said, I went for shopping inside the ocean. And hence, that's why I became late. I was not on Amazon Prime. It didn't give me one day delivery. So I had to carry all this. And he gives all the different jewels and rubies and emeralds to the Lord. And the Lord now says, but I have strung my bow. I have strung my bow. Now you tell me, where should I release this arrow? Because once I string my bow with an arrow, with a blazing tip, I cannot let it go. And the ocean says, towards the west, there are these people, these aborigines, who are diluting my waters, who are making it impure. I would like you to shoot the arrow there. And the Lord Ram, looking eastwards, shoots the arrow. The arrow goes westwards and falls in the today's world of Rajasthan, which makes the Thar desert, and also the Ran of Kutch. So even today, that place is barren because Lord Ramban touches the ground and then comes back to his quiver. At this point of time, a devotee of Ramanujacharya says, pause, pause right now. This scene has to be paused, and says, Rama, why are you doing this? Why are you playing this supreme natak, this drama? Rama asks, what did I do? He says, you shot an arrow looking eastwards. It was as if it is a laser-guided missile. It went to the west, 1,400 kilometers away from here. And it did its work and came back to your quiver. How difficult it is for you to just shoot an arrow from here, go 100 yojanas on the other side, kill Ravana and come back. If you can shoot an arrow 1,200 kilometers and it does its work and comes back, you can just shoot an arrow. Why to build a bridge? You can just shoot an arrow from here. It would have killed Ravana. It would have killed Kumbhakarna. It would have killed Akshay Kumar. It would have killed Indrajit, and it would have come back. This shows that you are a superhuman, though you act as a human. So he is Atimanusha. Lord Ramchandra is called as Atimanusha. And Nityananda Prabhu is witnessing all these pastimes. And they beautifully build the bridge. We all know the Setu Bandhan. And how do they build the bridge? They build the bridge by putting castor oil plants. Just like if you go to Venice, you can see a lot on top of the river. They will put a lot of trees and shrubs and leaves. And then they will put stones on it. And then they will put sand in between. And it will become a bridge 100 yojanas wide, 100 yojanas in length, and 10 yojanas in width. Even today, when the NASA found out that Adam's bridge, which they call it as Adam, because during the Abrahamical religions, there was a messenger called as Adam who crossed over and came to Sri Lanka to spread the Abrahamical religions. They called it the Adam Strait. But before that, it was called as the Setu, and it is called Ram Setu. Even today, when they cut the cross section of the rock, which is available there, they see at the bottom is the fossil of those trees and leaves and shrubs, and on top of that is the rock, which is porous in nature, and then they find the sedimentation of the sand. So such was the beautiful Setu which was constructed from one place to another, and Nityananda Prabhu is exhibiting all these wonderful pastimes of meeting Parashuram face to face, meeting Tara and looking down, and we see how the irrepressible Lakshmana at the end, having love towards his devotees. And Parashuram, who had guessed him correct, that he is Gaura, but at the same time, he is having poison in his lips, is none other than Adishesh. So we get to see such beautiful narrations by Vrindavan Das Thakur. a great remembrance of Ramayana. I urge each and every devotee to pick up Valmiki Ramayana and read these beautiful sargas and the shlokas. Every verse, like Srimad Bhagavatam, you can spend your years and years on it. And all kinds of Ramayana gives us that ultimate bliss towards the lotus feet of Lord Sri Ramachandra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yadastra skalitam kinchit. Vidvamsat pura yantu tat. Yadastra saushtubam kinchit. Tad guror eva menahi. If there are any errors in this presentation, those are truly mine. But if there was something nice which you could take back and relish, that truly belongs to my spiritual masters. At the end, I will also like to say, Mandrahinam kriyahinam bhaktihinam tu janardana yat kridam tu maya deva paripurnam tatastute prayachityani sheshani tapakarma atmakani tanim tatsat shri krishnar panamastu. Mantrahinam, if the mantras were not chanted correctly. Kriyahinam, if they were not orated in the right fashion. Bhaktihinam, if they had no bhakti. But when we say the name Janardana, Krishna, it completes all the three. And hence all glories to the spiritual masters and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And all these efforts are offered under the lotus feet of our Ishtadev, who is none other than Krishna. That's it, Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thy God Premanande.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I just wanted to check. Do you hear me properly, Prabhu?
Yeah, I can hear. If there are any questions, comments.
Yes. Thank you so much for the such beautiful presentation, Prabhu. Really, it was so wonderful. And it was so interesting. If there are questions, and I also have a question, but I would like to go at the end if there are none. Dear devotees, please unmute yourself and ask your question, comment, realization, or anything that you would like to add on. Please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a wonderful class, Prabhu. It is really nectar. And in this, I have a question, Prabhu, regarding at one point you're telling Tara and Roma, they're having liquor. So they have given the permission to have this. So can you please elaborate, Prabhu, why they are given the permission? And are they allowed to also eat the meat or something, meat product, something, Prabhu?
Yeah, I know this question would arise, but this is, when they say liquor here, it's made of the fruits and it's not the liquor that we think about alcohol. They are of a different species. They are not the species of human beings. And they are the species of vanaras. And they have the ability to turn into human-like species as well. They have been specifically blessed by Brahma. We do see that even if they are vanaras and they are part of the Lord's pastimes, because they can come in the association of the senses and sense objects, they can get complacent. We see another example, which is the Dividha gorilla, who extendedly associated with one of the demons and later was killed by Balaram, though he fought shoulder to shoulder with Lord Ramchandra in the Lord Ramchandra's war. So we see that sense objects are very strong, and this is being displayed by Sugriva, Ruma, Tara, everybody. And I couldn't read through the shlokas, but they explain this very carefully. They say that, yes, we have been swayed away by our senses. And for any practitioner, we should not get swayed away. And they are playing the part of the jivas. And Lakshmana is playing the part of the spiritual master. They are showcasing ourselves that how we were in this material world many lifetimes and how we are swaying away by the pleasures of the senses. So it is not allowed, because we see from the pastime that Lakshmana comes and admonishes this behavior. And afterwards, we see that they didn't pick it up. And similarly, for meat eating, they never used to eat any meat because they are vanaras. So they used to always engage in fruits, roots, etc. But these are some of the roots and some of the fermented roots that they drink as liquor. But this is not allowed.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Got it. And one more question, same to the extension, Prabhu. So we hear usually that in the upper planets, they usually have the surapana, occasionally and sometimes. So is this also the same fruits extraction, or how is it can be understood, Prabhu?
Yeah, the surapana in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Talavana pastime, this Tala fruit is actually drunk by Indra. He makes the juice out of it and they drink this as one of the intoxicants. Now, this is from the Tala fruits, it is mentioned. And that is what Kamsa steals, and he wants to keep it for himself, and Denukasura protects it. This is not the normal liquor or anything that we get in this planet. But as a devotee, we are not interested even in the rasa of the somapan or the surapan that is being mentioned, because the bhakti ras is even greater than that. Even the Ramayana's ras is considered, the ras of Ramayana, the ras of mellows of bhakti is far, far greater. But the upper planetary systems, the demigods have a proficiency, or you can say they have a license to engage in sense objects, and they have sense objects to enjoy in a very wide scale. So that is why the greatest of the devotees don't even want to go to heaven. They want to go back home, back to Godhead, where they are intoxicated by devotion and not by cheap imitations of fruit liquors. So we understand it that way. While they are to be respected, they are higher than us, they have their sense enjoyments, but we are not interested with that. We are interested in taking the pure devotion, Bhagavata rasa, the mellows, the rasa, the divinity of the mellows of devotional service. Does that answer, Mataji?
Wonderful, Prabhu, wonderful. Thank you so much, Prabhu. And while listening to your class, Prabhu, about Tara, Mandodari, everyone, the five chaste ladies. So I have the small book like Nitya Stuti, which is from the Gorakhpur Press only. And in this book, there is some set of shlokas we have to read every day. So in that, I have this shloka, Prabhu, what you mentioned exactly. Ahalya, Draupadi, Sita, Tara, Mandodari, Tada, Panchakanyans, Panin, Nicham, Mahapataka, Nasana.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for this wonderful class, Prabhu. It is really enlightening. And Prabhu, I have a small request. Do you have any series of Ramayana which you have given?
I think it's on my YouTube handle. I've covered up to Aranyakanda.
Prabhu... Can you?
Yeah, I'll just put it on.
Yeah, wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
And that shloka which you mentioned, which is from the Gita and Gita for Gorakhpur Press, it is actually from a book called as Punya Anjana Stuti. It is the fourth shloka of that particular verse. Kalya Draupadi Sita Tara Mandodari Tata Panchakam Dham Smaren Nityam Mahapataka Nash. It's a very nice verse.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else has any comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Pichai Gopinathji. Very, very inspiring class as usual, Prabhuji. And all the points from you take us from Shishi Bhagavad Gita to Shishi Chaitanya, Shishi Chaitanya Bhagavatam to like our Prithvi Vilasini, take us in a Shishi Brihadba Ramayana, like that you take us in a Valmiki Ramayana, and that last point is touched to heart, that Amruthara, when Bharata is praying Lord Rama lotus feet, and the Abhishek water is entering in Sharyu river and then entering in the ocean, so it's become like a Charnamrut, that is touched to heart, and all the Leelas, we are not qualified, Prabhuji, to enter in these Leelas, but hum visualize, we can see all the lilas, that much potency in your class, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Gopinath ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your deep devotional association. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madhuri. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to my spiritual.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, again, one more beautiful class. And I really like the analogy that you were telling about ocean, why, you know, Lakshmana was not cooperating Rama, always he was serving Rama, then why he did not? That analogy was, Acharya's commentary was very, very nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And also I like how Lakshmana was telling to Parashuram that if you want me to get out of the sight, then why? You just close your eyes. Then I will automatically go, but then nobody can move me from here. That also was very nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, very grateful to you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Prabhuji, I would ask my question.
Yes.
Yeah, so as you were talking about Tara, when she came, she was intoxicated. And she came, and the picture behind you is Tara and Lakshman.
Yes.
That is the scene, right? Because I thought that seeing that deer skin, I thought it was Parshuram at first. But then as you explained, yeah. So Tara, I mean, when you were narrating, just by hearing, it felt like a human being, a normal Mataji, because she was inappropriate. But a naive question that I have, a monkey, you can barely make it's a Mataji or a Prabhuji. How can, you know, that person, I don't know if it's an appropriate question or not, but just if you can, yeah. I mean, how can an animal can behave anyway and it will not make any difference to the human being? And because we barely can tell it's a male or female until unless we pay real attention. So would you explain that, Prabhu? Yeah.
I would like to read Valmiki Ramayana and to explain. There are four places where this is particularly being mentioned. I'd like to read the Valmiki Ramayana. I'd like to share my screen. Let me know when you can see it. So this is in Balakanda.
We can see the screen.
Yeah, you can see, right? So here. I'm just looking at where. There is a specific place where Brahma, yeah, if you look at this particular where Brahma orders gods to spawn forest rangers Vanara. This is a chapter number 17. If we go to this chapter, he comes to a particular shloka, and I want you to read that shloka.
Prabhu, I'm poor at reading Hindi.
Yeah, no worries. No, I'll read it for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Just a second. Just give me a second. I read it quite long back, so. So in this, he says. Okay. So here he actually mentions the Vanaras. He creates the Vanaras and he says that you should go and you will have Kama Rupinam. Here it is. Here, there is the word that comes. Kama Rupa Balopayata Yata Kamam Vicharinaha Simha Shardula Sadrasha Darpena Cha Balena Cha. So here he says, Brahma is saying, several of the gods and great sages and eagle yakshas, and then there are valiant Vanara sons. They are endowed with guise changing faculties. With bodily might and by their pride, they might be identical to lions and tigers, but they are born in their free movement in forests. So Brahma is saying they can change their form into human like forms. And I would like to also showcase another verse, which is in the Yuddhakanda. And how Rama knows this particular aspect. You will be astonished to know all these Vanaras, they cross the ocean, not as sometimes as Vanaras, but sometimes as a human form. So they can change these particular forms. And Rama mentions this in the Yuddhakanda. He says,
in the Suvela mountain, he says, this particular verse, if I can find it, he says, please, I would like to tell you all Vanaras, this is like a match where you have to wear one colored jerseys. Because, you know, he says, even the Rakshasas can change forms, and you Vanaras, because Brahma has given this particular ability, you can also change forms. So I would request you, none of you guys should change forms except seven of us. He tells that particular shloka that only seven of us will remain humans. Who are those seven? Lakshmana, Rama, Vibhishana, and the four people who came with Vibhishana. So 4 plus 3, 7. All seven of us will be human beings, and you all should be Vanaras. You should not change your form from Vanara to human being. So this verse is there in Yuddhakanda, where he says that please, from no longer you should change into these forms. And by these two verses, we get to know from Valmiki Ramayana that these Vanaras have the ability to change form. So Tara also has the ability given by Brahma to change her form into a lady-like figure. So in the photo, she has been shown as a Vanari, but actually in the Valmiki Ramayana, this particular photograph, if you would have taken as per Valmiki Ramayana, she was in the form of a human lady. So the Vanaras can change their appearances. Does that answer the question, Madhushi?
Yes, yes, definitely. Very informative. Thank you so much. And the Ramayana that you were reading, is it your personal copy or it is something
it's on we the can web, find? It's on the
because
web.
Because it's a colorful one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called ValmikiRamayana.net, and it has some of the commentary from Govindaraja, who is from, and Maheshwara Tirtha, who are from the Sri Sampradaya. And you can read the commentary there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very grateful. Is there anybody who would like to ask or share any thoughts before we close the call for today? If not, then with your permission, Prabhuji, we are at Bhakti Sangha really grateful to you. I mean, of course, you are a part of Bhakti Sangha too, but we would just like to thank you, Prabhu, for such another wonderful session on Ramayana and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Let us now offer our humble obeisances at you, at your lotus feet, and all the humble devotees. Vancha kalpata rubhyesha kripa sindhu bevacha patita nam bhavne vya vashna vyo namo namo ananta koti vashna brinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. His grace Haridas Varya Prabhu ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very grateful. And we'll see you soon, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, once again. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, thank you for joining today's class. We'll meet tomorrow. Hari Bol, closing the call for today.
Hare Krishna.